Well, we're continuing Matthew's Gospel, but we're kind of jumped from ahead from last week. Last week, Jesus was in the temple area, probably mid-afternoon, and now it's a few things happened after that. But now Jesus in the Gospels. Today's Gospel is on the Mount of Olives, which, if you do a little geography lesson, is to the east of Jerusalem, and it's a mount. It's not a mountain per se, but you got to go up. You know, it's kind of like maybe a big, large hill. It's not that big, but still it's called the Mount of Olives. And so that's where he is. Again, it would probably be Tuesday of Holy Week, March 31st to 33 AD. So in the evening, and he's up there with his disciples. He's talking about the end, basically end times when various things are going to happen. We didn't hear about that, but that happens before this gospel. And so he's talking about that with his disciples, and then they're asking, well, when is this going to happen? And he shares with them various things that they can expect. And just before this gospel, he shares with them the parable about the master who goes away. And the servants are left behind, and the servants are called to continue the work of the master, so that when the master comes back, that he finds his servants doing what they're supposed to do, doing what is good, doing what's going to be beneficial, obviously, for the master, serving the master in the proper way. So basically, Jesus says, be ready so that when that master comes back, you know, the servants are ready to see the master. So that happens, that's what he says just before this gospel. And so then we hear the gospel about the 10 virgins today. And part of it, again, is that Jesus is kind of prepping them to be ready. We hear again that the bridegroom is long delayed, and what happens is the 10 virgins get drowsy and they fall asleep. And then when the bridegroom comes, the ones that had the extra oil were able to go with the bridegroom to the wedding feast, and the others didn't make it. So again, part of this is Jesus is trying to say, be ready, for you know not when the Lord's going to come. So for us, you know, to be ready. You know, if the Lord were to come today, if something unfortunate happened to us, you know, we died suddenly, are we ready? Are we ready to meet the Lord? Or if the end of the world comes first, are we ready? That's the thing. We should always be ready for the Lord to come. We don't know when he's going to come in our lives. So that's the first thing, is to be ready. Another element in this parable about the 10 virgins is it seems like that the virgins are representing the mystical body of Christ, the church. Again, remember we just heard about this a few weeks back about the wedding banquet, you know, and the one person who didn't wear the wedding garment, and he wasn't allowed into the banquet. So again, this is Jesus, again, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, these 10 virgins. So it seems to implicate that the virgins would be, again, the members of the church. The bridegroom is coming. Where's the bride? The virgins. So there's going to be a marriage. And if you go back to the ancient Jewish custom of marriage, but what happened is, first of all, there'd be betrothal. We hear about that, you know, when Mary and Joseph, they're betrothed, but before they live together, Mary is found with child. So the first thing in the ancient Jewish marriage was betrothal, and then what happened was is the bride and the groom would go to the bride's house and get together, and then after that, they would progress and go and live in the groom's home. So you think about this, is in the story of the 10 virgins, is the bridegroom coming to the house of the virgins, and then they're progressing to the wedding banquet? You know, so there seems like there's some correlation there. So, again, it seems to indicate that the virgins are like the members of the church, and that's who Christ is going to marry. Christ is the bridegroom. So, for us to be cognizant of that. And then it's like, well, why the lights and the lamps? And the ones who had oil, the flasks of oil, were able actually to go with the Lord, the bridegroom. Well, you think about this oil, what's providing the light? It's the oil that's burning. That's the power, or the fuel, if you want to use that word, fuel of the light. And so you think about that, could, you know, the Holy Spirit. And we as Christians know that we really need the power of the Holy Spirit to live in us, to be in us, so that we can be a light to the world. Without the Holy Spirit, you know, that's what happens in baptism. We receive the Holy Spirit. And we become children of God, children of light. We become children of God in baptism. And then, you know, we're called to let our light shine before others. Well, it's not just, when we're baptized, we don't just stop growing in the Spirit. You know, there's certainly confirmation where we're strengthened, but throughout our entire lives, we're supposed to be growing and allowing the Holy Spirit to move us and help us and give us strength and to help us to shine before others. We need the Holy Spirit. Again, this is a common theme or repetitive theme. It's the Holy Spirit in our temples that's helping us to shine, to be able to do those things we're called to do the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit gives us that strength and help, and so we can actually shine before others. And this is what Jesus says, if you read, when he first starts his public ministry in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about us. He says, you're called to be a light to the world so that others may see your good works and give glory to God. A light to the world so that your good works may give glory to God. You know, we're called to live out our faith. We're called to persevere in our faith and continue to do good works. You know, how do we know that we're living out our lives and being good Christians? Look at the fruit. The fruit of what we do. And also, Jesus, later on, he says, those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Those who follow me, Jesus is saying. And then later on in Acts, it talks about that, how it says, Acts says, the Lord has commanded us that we should be a light to the Gentiles, so that we may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth. Again, an instrument of salvation. It's you understand that, again, it's the Holy Spirit living in us, moving in us, giving that power, that oil, help us so that we can be a light to the nations. And it's through us that then God can work and bring others to himself. We're an instrument. I mean, in other words, it's God is moving us through the power of the Spirit to impact others for the good of themselves and certainly for their salvation. So, you know, it seems like the virgins that didn't have enough oil, they didn't have that reserve. They weren't planning ahead and realizing that they really need the Holy Spirit to continue in them. So that's important for us to be aware of. How are we allowing the Holy Spirit, as we continually grow in our faith, to really move us and help us to be a light to the nations? Lastly, it's interesting that when the other virgins who didn't have the flasks of oil came and knocked on the door, what did the bridegroom say? Lord, Lord, we're here. And the response is, I don't know you. What? I don't know you. Well, if you read Scripture, another point, Jesus, this is toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's very interesting. Jesus tells them that there are a number who will say, Lord, Lord. Hey, they want Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, but they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. They won't. It's only those who do the will of the Father that will enter the kingdom of heaven. So, again, it's doing the will of the Father throughout our lives. You know, letting our light shine before others, allowing us to walk with the Lord, with the bridegroom, shining our light. You know, that's the thing. If the bridegroom is going from the house of the virgins to the wedding banquet, it seems like they would have walked with the bridegroom with their light shining. You know, so there's these things of, are we walking with the Lord? Are we letting our light shine in our lives? Do we come to know the Lord in our lives? So something really for us really to step back and really say, Lord, help me to allow the Holy Spirit in my life, to allow that oil, the power of the Spirit to move me, to help me to let my light shine. Lord, it's really you are in me, shining in and through me. Help that light to shine so that others may see the good works that I do and give glory to God.